Day two. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So that's a famous quote from a man named Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl is a famous psychiatrist, neurologist, as well as an author. But one thing about Viktor Frankl that's unique, besides the profession, is that he actually survived the Holocaust. He was in multiple camps. And the reason I brought that up is in that quote, he talks about separating external stimuli and internal response to the stimulus. This little rant is going to be around mindfulness and meditation. Now, when I first heard meditation about 2.5 years ago, I thought, okay, that's just some sort of guru, some sort of Buddha, some sort of hippy-dippy tree-hugging, crisscross applesauce, hold your fingers out next to your head and try to levitate. And that was my perspective, and that was my perception of what that was. So I kind of thought it was dumb, didn't think it was useful, so I let it go. Came back around a year later, and I heard it again. So I thought, maybe I should kind of look into this. So I looked into it, did some reading, and I came across some resources that I would like to provide to you. And before I provide the resources, I would like to maybe provide some use cases of how it's benefited my life and maybe explain what it's not. So to think of mindfulness and meditation, it's not necessarily what I explained back with the Buddha and the gurus. You can sit down at a chair, you can walk slowly, you can wash your dishes, you can color a book, you can do any type of activity, as long as you are being mindful and you're being in the moment of what's happening at that time. I prefer to do mindfulness meditation where I sit down in a chair and breathe slowly, focus on my breath for 10 minutes every single morning. And I've been doing it for about 8 to 9 months now. At first, didn't really help that much, at least I didn't see that it helped. I got really frustrated throughout the meditation sessions, sitting there and thinking to myself, this is stupid, I can't focus, this isn't for me, my mind's too messed up, I can't calm down. These are all thoughts that ran through my head. And the more research that I did, and the more that I understood about the practice itself and how it benefits the human body, not just psychologically, but also physically, I realized that I needed to buckle down and continue and just keep going and think of it as a daily ritual, just like brushing your teeth or doing your bed. So, some fun facts about this is when you meditate, it's kind of like doing curls. You go to the gym, you do curls, you get bigger biceps. Well, if you sit down and meditate for 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day, you're slowly building up your frontal cortex, and you're slowly actually shrinking your amygdala, the little piece of the brain that's connected to the spinal cord that people call your lizard brain. And that piece of the brain controls your emotions. When you react, you're angry, you're sad, you're happy, all emotions, it's the immediate effect of that piece of the brain. So the more you shrink that and the more you expand your frontal cortex through this type of practice and this activity, you begin to separate, as Viktor Frankl mentioned earlier in the quote, external stimuli. So if someone pulls out in front of you in the traffic, you may get pissed off, but some points in time, if you continue practicing, you start to look at it from a different perspective, and you start to see it from almost a third-person view. If you could zoom out of your body and look above and see, why am I getting mad at this person, or why am I reacting this way? It's basically a way to be more self-aware. And it's benefited me tremendously. And Devin, You know that, I know that, through discussions that we've had, and my temper has not been as short, and it's actually helped me a lot. So some resources that I would like to give to you. The first resource is Waking Up by Sam Harris. And this is all around the science of meditation and the science of mindfulness. And it speaks all about the different neuro scientists that have done experiments and actually have proven that it helps. So if you need the hard facts, that's a good book for you. A good use case is called 10% Happier by Dan Harris. And this is a book that's somewhat of a story, and it gives you an understanding that this can be practically helpful and it can help practical people. It doesn't have to be a Buddha or a meditation guru. It can be anyone. So that's my second resource. And the third resource is Wherever You Go, There You Are. And this book is a pretty impactful book for me because it really explains how to implement this type of practice within your life. But not only that, it actually explains it in a way and helps you understand the purpose of mindfulness and how it can actually benefit your life. And it gives a lot of good analogies on how to think about it and not to get frustrated with yourself if you're not able to sit there for the 10-minute or 5-minute period of time without focusing the entire time. So it really puts it into good perspective. So those are my resources. That's the quote that I came across today that I thought I would talk about. And that is my proposal to those that listen to this, that meditation and mindfulness can be extremely beneficial, and it doesn't have to be sitting in a chair. It can be coloring, like I said. It could be sweeping. It could be cleaning. It could be whatever you want it to be. Just think about being in the moment at that time while you're doing what you're doing. So that's day two, meditation and mindfulness. Thank you for listening, and talk to you tomorrow.